going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you taking care of your teeth? Are you taking care of your children's teeth? Well, it's a question that you're likely to get from your dentist, whether you're going every 6 months or not. Well, dental health is much more than brushing regularly, and it, of course, has an impact on your health beyond your mouth. This is National Children's Dental Health Month. On this Medical Monday, we're going to talk about dental health for young people. My guest is Dr. Latoya Barham. She is a board-certified pediatric dentist and assistant professor at the Howard University School of Dentistry. The doctor is in. Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Barham, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. We're going to talk about the kids today.
Yes.
How is children's dental health different from adult health?
Well, children's dental health is very, very important. Believe it or not, you know, you do go through two sets of teeth. So your first set, once you are up to 3 years old, and the importance, the information that we really want for parents to understand is once you start to incorporate healthy habits and taking your child that young to the dentist early to kind of start to allay fears, you then begin to develop a healthy adult, a healthy mouth in the adult. Sometimes we have adults who are scared of the dentist. So, yeah. You look like you were one of the ones that were scared of the dentist.
No, I honestly, because I like my teeth and I like to keep them. So, honestly, when I get my teeth taken care of, when the dentist is cleaning, I go to sleep.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Because I work on it. But that has to start early for parents, new parents or parents that are expecting. How soon should they take their little one to the dentist?
That's a great question. According to the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry and as well as the American Academy of Pediatrics, we both advocate the age one dental visit.
Age one,
12 months. By the first birthday, a parent should really have begun to start taking their child to the dentist, believe it or not.
So now my little girl, my baby, is 20. I don't really remember. I don't remember her. Honestly, I remember talking to her doctor about it, but I don't remember, gosh, maybe the first dental visit was at 2. But before 12 months, when those first little teeth begin to show, how do you clean them?
It can be a challenge. Undoubtedly, most of the little babies are going to cry, which is a benefit for us because when they cry, the mouths are open and we get in.
Didn't think about that.
Yes. Some of them are kind of smart, though. They have learned to cry with their mouths closed real tight. So those are the challenging ones, but more often than not, when they cry. And we have to actually let them know. A part of the training for pediatric dentists, and even with my students, we want to let the parents to be comfortable, understand, you know, mom, dad, we know little Johnny is going to cry, but that's fine. That's fine. That allows us to be able to get in and see what we need to see very quickly. And the visit will be over and you can, you know, start hugging and
the whole
calm them down.
But as a parent, so let's say at 8 months or so, or whenever those first teeth begin to show, how should the parent clean the child's teeth?
And let's just clarify for a moment. When we do say the child should come to the dentist by age one, it's not so much for us to clean their teeth as much as it is for us to educate the parents.
Oh, okay.
So that we can show them positions. There are certain ways, let's say if we have mom and dad together and the child may not be as cooperative, then we can position the parents at the office to let them know this is what you could do at home. Mom, hold the child in the cradle of your arm and dad, you stand behind it. Maybe you can get in that way or the toothbrush while the child is leaning, you know, slightly inclined. The most common way is a knee to knee. So the parents will be facing each other, their knees to touch, and the child will straddle the waist of one parent and the head will be in the other parent. And so this is actually what we do in the dental office. So the head will be in my lap and the child will have their legs straddled around mom or dad's waist. And once the head is in my lap, I can, you know, see what I need to see, get in there with a toothbrush. If I need to show mom, dad, how to brush, how much toothpaste to use. If we need to use toothpaste, that's another thing that we talk about too. Fluoride is a big hot button topic. How much fluoride is too much? Is it toxic and things of that nature? Relatively, no, it's safe, but you have to take into consideration, is the child swallowing? How much is the child swallowing? I've had parents to say the child loves to eat the toothpaste.
Because it's sweet.
Because it tastes good. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. It's sweet. And so because of that, we actually have an age for when we want you to start using fluoride for the tooth, for the child. Usually around 3 or when the child can actually spit.
I see. That's good to know. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about your child's dental health. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Beyond 12 months, how frequently should the child come to see you? Should it be just like adults or the teenagers every 6 months?
Yes, unless we detect problems.
Such as?
Such as if we have what we call early childhood caries, our little white spot lesions that are starting, like cavities are starting to form on teeth, and the babies are really young, maybe 18 months, two, and we want to put those lesions on monitor.
Mm-hmm. What,
for instance, those, I don't know if you remember, you look too young, but back in the day, we used to say baby bottle decay.
I don't remember that.
I told you were too young.
Thank you.
But when parents essentially put the child to sleep with a bottle of milk, and that is one of the contributing factors for childhood caries. And so sometimes if you have lesions that early, we may put you on a more frequent recall, maybe every 3 months.
Really?
And in those 3 months, we'll apply fluoride that is more safe to swallow if the child ingests, and that will kind of arrest or keep the lesions from growing too large.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your child's dental health on this Medical Monday. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Let's talk to Monica calling from Capitol Heights. Monica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. I have a 14-year-old son. I'm putting him on blast. We struggle.
Ooh, at 14.
What is it with boys and body odor and not wanting to brush their teeth? Mr. Fisher, you may have to do a special on just boys.
I think so. Yeah. And I don't have one, so I'm and won't be having any. So I'm quite sure. But I think that's a really good question.
I also have another question also.
Well, go ahead and ask your second question, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Also, he needs. We took him to Howard Dental some time ago. He needs braces, and they were like, he needs a tongue clamp and all of that. How can I make that affordable? Because I only make so much money, but I'm not eligible for, like, Medicaid or anything like that. And it's a struggle. We've been putting it off because we can't afford it.
Well, let's see if she can answer the first one and then the second one. How do you get teenagers, particularly boys, to stay on top of their dental hygiene?
Whew, outside of locking them in the bathroom.
Right, with a toothbrush.
Or threatening to brush the teeth for them and putting it on Instagram or Snapchat. Your son actually has a unique position. Sometimes we, let's say, positive reinforcement, a.k.a. bribery. Now, if your son really, really, really wants his braces, he's going to have to know, now listen, if you can't take care of your teeth without the braces, then no, we can't move forward with putting the braces on your teeth. So you may be able to use that as leverage. Sometimes we as dentists try to find means of leverage for the patients to, you know, be inspired to brush. Regarding the affordability of the braces, I'm not sure when how recent you were in our orthodontic department at Howard, but our prices tend to be lower than the outside prices. I would encourage you to try to come back and have him reevaluate it. And the last thing, you were talking about a tongue clamp. I assume he may have a habit or so, and oftentimes we may need to place a general habit appliance, and maybe that can help lessen the amount of the full braces.
What is a general habit appliance?
There are some special smaller appliances that are cemented into the mouth.
And what does it do?
It can help either reinforce, no, don't put your thumb in, or training the tongue. Sometimes patients will have tongue thrusting, meaning they're hanging the tongue out, to retrain the tongue to sit back in the mouth.
Wow.
And that sometimes can close up any malocclusions.
Well, Monica, good luck. And, you know, and if any...
Don't give up.
Yeah. And certainly, as it relates to brushing and bad breath, if you stand across the room and you tell them you can't get too close because you don't want to pass out, maybe that will help encourage him to brush.
And so, the ladies, yeah, you don't want to smell that at school.
That's right. Or at church, for that matter. Ooh, wow. So anyway, Monica, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The doctor is in. We're talking about dental health for your children. And we're going to be taking as many calls as we can, as always, even after 7:30. So please give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. Kelly, calling from Northwest DC. We're going to talk to you next. And also, Dr. Barham was on Capitol Hill. We're going to talk about what that was about today. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. Phone number 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking on this Medical Monday about dental health for your children. My guest is Dr. LaToya Barham, board certified pediatric dentist and assistant professor at the Howard University School of Dentistry. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we find out what you did on Capitol Hill today with your colleagues, I want to talk to Kelly real quick. Kelly calling from Northwest DC. Kelly, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Pause real quick. Let me just say, a lot of health problems there are from adults' mouth, and people really don't realize how close the mouth is to the organs and veins and stuff that's in your head. And
absolutely.
Like that. So there needs to be you know, I'm glad you guys talking about it. I wish we would have been online so everybody could hear it. But let me just say this. The dentistry needs a partner back with the elementary schools. Back in the day, we had the pink cards that they used to pass out to us to go to the dentist and get it, you know, get everything checked and bring it back to your health person. But a lot of times, schools don't have a health person in the school anymore because of some budget reasons and things like that. But please bring that back, because that does help. Because I'm telling you, you need to get on your teeth early, because that is a health issue of a major proportion.
Well, Kelly, let me see if Dr. Barham can address some of the specifics of that, because you make such a really important point. Thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, we are now actually moving towards putting back or re-establishing school-based dental programs. Howard University College of Dentistry has actually received grants to put dental setups and schools in the D.C. area. So we are truly aware of the need to go back to and revisit the school-based oral health system. And as a matter of fact, let me just give a couple of facts that people may not know, that tooth decay is actually the single most common chronic childhood disease. And it's more common than asthma. 1 million children have asthma. But childhood decay is actually four times more common than that.
Hmm. Well, is that because parents are not helping their children focus on their dental health? Or is it the sugary drinks or the foods or what?
It's a combination of all of those factors. Your diet, lack of education, lack of access to care. Part of the reason why we do need to revisit these school-based programs is that will make it that much more convenient for children to be seen. Parents won't have to take off work and things of that nature, but yes, a lot of factors that are contributing.
Explain to me what happened on Capitol Hill today. Why were you there?
Well, this week, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, actually, is the annual advocacy conference for the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry. And it's where we all get together. It's usually with all of the residency programs. We're trying to let the dental residents learn how important advocacy and policy and advocating for the children, how important that is. We go and visit our local congresspeople, and we're advocating for Medicaid reform. For our children. I think it was a couple of years ago when we were fighting for CHIP not to be underfunded or defunded, as well as money for faculty. One of the issues is we're looking at workforce as it relates to the amount of pediatric dentists that are seeing the children. And if you don't have enough faculty to teach, then that decreases the workforce as well. So we're pushing for funding for those major areas.
Very important. Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mark calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind?
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I have a 9-month-old son.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you. And I was wondering, since there are some questions about fluoride and it being toxic to some extent, I was wondering if there are natural remedies that you can use instead of actually using fluoride for the tooth for brushing the teeth for infants.
We were just talking about the fluoride, the hot button topic. First, sort of allay some of the fears with the fluoride toxicity. It's not as toxic as a lot of the media seems to portray it to be. You would have to, the idea is we look at the amount that you ingest. So essentially a child will have to ingest a whole tube of toothpaste, really. But we do know that we don't want to have a lot of fluoride ingested, we will recommend you not to even use fluoride toothpaste until the age of 3 or when the child is able to spit, unless the dentist sees some, you know, care, cavity starting to form or the enamel issues for your child, which is why you want them to come and be in a dental home by age one.
So what kind
of... How do we avoid the sugary type of substitutes? Like, we want to try to be as healthy as possible mm-hmm. when raising him, but at the same time, we want to make sure that he has the proper care. So we wanted to make sure that we don't give him too much sugar because we're restricting that now.
Right.
And so what? Let me see, Mark, if she has an answer for you. What kind of low sugar, non sugar toothpaste would you recommend?
Okay, well, let's just be the disclaimer. I'm not with any particular product.
Right, of course not.
But a product that is good in terms of natural, Tom's of Maine. Tom's of Maine has a product that does add fluoride, small amounts, but essentially the overall product is naturally based. So that's a good product to look into.
And it's not sweet or it's low in sugar?
No, and actually that's the one that I prefer because I don't like all of the sugary additives that you may find in the other toothpaste.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mark, again, congratulations and thank you so much for your call. Let me go to Michelle. Michelle calling from Hyattsville. You have a one-year-old?
Yes.
Congratulations to you, too. Oh, okay. Well, congratulations Grandma.
You. Thank you. I noticed that he only has two teeth on the bottom.
Okay.
But I noticed on the top of the gums, on top and bottom, the gums are not completely pink. They're brown.
Okay. Which can be normal for our pigmentation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing medically or dentally wrong that I would need to address, have his parents address.
In theory, no, but I would encourage you, since he has made that first birthday, it's time to go and seek out a pediatric dentist to be able to confirm and see what actually is going on in the mouth. But we, as people of color, we tend to have darker pigmented gingiva.
Mm-hmm.
That's not healthy.
Say again. What was that, Michelle?
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, I heard you say something. We didn't quite hear your last comment.
Oh, because I'm outside walking my dog. I was driving, and
I
now
see.
I'm walking the dog, so it's kind of windy out. Sorry.
Okay, no, that's quite all right. But as the doctor just said, your grandson has made it to the 12-month mark, so go ahead and find a pediatric dentist. This is a perfect time to start. So thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kelly, calling from Lorton. Kelly, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. My daughter is six. She's born without her four bottom front teeth, and she won't be getting her four adult teeth there. My question is, do you think because it's aesthetically pleasing to get like a flipper until she's like 18 till we can get implants?
Mm-hmm.
Or should we just leave it open? Like, I'm scared, will the teeth kind of grow in together in that space?
I am almost certain once she gets into later elementary, middle, and high school, she will probably, for esteem issues, would, you know, want to have some replacements there. And yes, you can use or look into fabricating a partial for her, something temporary until she does get to the age for implant placement. Yes.
Now, what would cause a child by six not to have teeth?
Congenitally missing teeth, that's the medical terminology for situations like that, can occur. It can have a plethora of reasons, something in the womb as the child was developing to labor and delivery. Any slight disturbance can cause teeth to actually not develop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Systemic issues, yep.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to go back to the early stages of introducing the baby or the toddler, I guess you could say, to a dental health. when, for example, when you were explaining that the mom is holding the child and the father is assisting or vice versa, and you're talking about brushing, what kind of toothbrush should you get? And when I say type, I don't necessarily mean brand, but what does it look like? How is it made? Is it soft? What should parents look for? Should parents brush gums, for example?
Definitely, first things first, soft bristle brushes work. Child, adult, period. That would be the best way to remove your plaque and not damage any of your gum tissues. So using a soft bristle brush is optimal. For children, I would also recommend a parent's Oral-B has a line of toothbrushes and toothpaste too. Some without fluoride, Oral-B stages that will go, the heads will be smaller and depending upon the age, the specific age of the child. So that's also a great resource to look into in terms of, you know, the development of the toothbrush over age, over time. Using a manual toothbrush for the infants and the young toddlers will work a little better as well. And then you can progress to the electric toothbrushes that will get the plaque off a little bit better, but again, you want to make sure you remove the plaque, but not damage any of the other oral structures in the mouth.
Now, that's interesting that you should say that, because there's so much information out there about the electric toothbrushes, whether they're the ones that have little batteries in them that are hanging in the drugstore, and then you have the Grand Dame that. The only thing they don't do is get you out of bed and pull you into the bathroom to brush your teeth. But you have brushes, and then you have the Waterpik,
the
one that are they one and the same, or should you use both? Tell me about them.
They aren't one and the same. We actually like to have patients with braces. When they have all of the wiring in the mouths, the Waterpik works well because it shoots out high-powered water spray to really get into the gums. But it's totally different from the regular electric toothbrushes.
So if someone doesn't use one of those water devices, is it okay just to floss and to brush?
Yes, it's okay. And especially if you're doing your flossing, your brushing at home, and you're seeing your dentist every 6 months, you're doing wonderful. You're doing wonderful even without using the Waterpik.
Okay. I need to take a break. When we come back, more about the health of your children when it comes to their teeth. I was going to ask you about... bad breath.
And,
oh, my. Ooh, stand over there. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Medical Monday, and we continue our conversation about pediatric dental health. My guest is Dr. Latoya Barham, board-certified pediatric dentist and assistant professor at the Howard University School of Dentistry. Lines are still open if you have a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit about some specific things as it relates to, let's talk about, first of all, older children, preteens, teenagers. Although I guess this would probably be applicable to anyone. When you have pain, is there a reason why if you drink something cold as opposed to something hot that you would have tooth pain? Are there different reasons?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, yes, both of them are telltale signs of the status of the nerve in your tooth, are the pulp tissues. Oftentimes, and this is actually what we ask in the dental office, are you having pain or sensitivity to hot by itself, hot and cold? Oftentimes with cold, the pulp tissue is inflamed, but it's not totally diseased, fully diseased to the point of it starting to die, where you would need a root canal. Versus when you are experiencing pain, thermal, hot, cold, then that's the biggest telltale sign that now the inflammation is going from the top of the nerve tissue down to the full root of the matter, so that's when we need to start looking to do we need a root canal to save this tooth or not. So it's very important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Roy calling from Fort Washington. Roy, Roy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm a grandparent, but I just got a simple question here.
Sure.
I know pediatric means kids, but what's the big significance between a pediatric dentist and a regular dentist?
I'm glad you asked that, Mr. Roy, particularly since I am a pediatric dentist myself.
Okay.
The main difference is the extra training pediatric dentists go through. You can essentially go through 4 years of dental school and practice as a general dentist or the regular dentist. But pediatric dentists, we go an extra 2, maybe 3 years in addition to the 4 for dental school. So we have a specialized training just for children and patients with special needs.
Okay. Roy, thank you so much for your phone call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk also about periodontal disease. What is that?
Periodontal disease, that's when you are now having inflammation and disease of the bone. So your teeth are actually housed in what you see is the gums, but it's housed, surrounded by bone. And once, I know you've heard of gingivitis.
Yes.
And that's the inflammation of the gingival tissue. And once that bacteria starts to go further and starts to attack the bones, that's when you have tooth mobility. And the teeth are loose.
Oh, okay.
And essentially we're talking about, you know, your adult teeth. And when you see a lot of the older population with teeth loss, tooth loss. So that's essentially the process of periodontal disease. And the bacteria has now started to attack the bone, and that's the structure that's holding on to the tooth in your mouth, which causes the tooth to be loose and fall out.
How do you prevent that?
Oh, once again, going and seeing your dentist every 6 months for your cleaning. Keeping good oral hygiene and oral habits is one, but also making sure that you take care of your total body health. Oral health is integral to total body health, period.
What do you mean by that?
The caller back earlier made a great statement saying that the mouth was essentially the gateway to everything in your body, and that's the simplest way to look at it. You can have the bacteria from your mouth actually go through your bloodstream and start to go through different body organs. I don't know if you all remember Diamante Driver, the young man in Prince George's, Maryland, almost 20 years ago, I think. He was 10, and he died of an untreated tooth.
Yes, I do remember that.
So the infection of the tooth, of his particular tooth, actually went up into his brain.
Oh, my.
So having older adults take care of themselves, diabetes, that's highly linked to periodontal disease. So systemic disorders, in addition to your maintaining your oral health, is very important. But those are factors that can lead to preventing your periodontal disease.
When you and I, before we were on the air, you mentioned baking soda. Is that a good thing for children, teenagers, to use to brush? And if so, how so? How do you use it?
Well, more so for, I would say, the adolescents and the older population. And this isn't evidence-based, but in terms of the actual taste, I'm sure the younger the younger kids, the younger children won't like it. But it's using baking soda is really quite safe. The current literature supports that you can use it daily. Put a little bit with water, mixing it up, or put a little bit on your toothbrush itself. It can reduce staining, help with tooth whitening, in addition to removing of the plaque.
Mm-hmm. What about bad breath? What causes bad breath? I mean, and beyond the obvious, where you've got the 14-year-old who just he didn't brush today, but when someone may have chronic bad breath, is that a dental issue or could it be something else?
That's a great question. Again, we going back to what's systemic. Sometimes chronic bad breath can be sinus drainage.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or it can be digestion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yes, if we're looking at situations where this is chronic, then you may need to see your primary care. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as it relates to your oral health, a lot of patients and children actually forget that tongue. You got to get that tongue. Cleaning the bacteria.
Oh, your tongue? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cleaning, removing the bacteria from your tongue can decrease the amount of bad odors that you are producing as well.
Mouthwash.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing, bad thing. What's a good example of what's an example of a good mouthwash? One maybe not so much.
For children, we as pediatric dentists tend to lean on ACT, ACT,
mm-hmm.
Or one that has fluoride in it,
mm-hmm.
Particularly for the younger kids to prevent the caries lesions or the cavities from forming. We don't tend to too often recommend the old school Listerine, the gold one that burns.
Mm, I was about to ask about that. For children or for anyone?
That has heavy alcohol in it.
I see.
So that's where the burning is coming.
Is that what causes the burning?
Mm-hmm, yes,
I see.
Yeah.
So because now there have been for the past, I would argue, maybe 20 years, a move towards the marketing of mouthwashes that don't tingle, and I guess that don't have the alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything that you could use at home outside of, is there a home remedy mouthwash that you could recommend?
Well, going back to mixing the baking soda with a little water, mm-hmm. you can do that.
Okay. Cheaper.
Very cheap.
Dr. LaToya Barnum, thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Is it time up?
Time is up. That's right. I have to stop you from looking in my mouth. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.